Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she was out for a routine morning jog when she passed an old tree and was suddenly overwhelmed by a crushing grief that didn't feel like her own. And what she learned later about that tree made the experience impossible to forget.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey there. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, I think you should share it with us. So you can call it in at 855-853-4802. You can always just write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to become a premium subscriber, that is up to you. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Kathy Gordon's with me today. How are you?
Well, I'm great. It's good. Beautiful here today. And I did a whole bunch of yard work. And now I'm like kind of sore.
It's so hot in my town. It's very
hot. It's not hot here. It's only in the 60s here.
So I sent you a picture the other night.
You sure did.
I'm driving down the street, and I'm behind this pickup truck. And I'm like, what is in the back of that pickup truck? I can't figure it out. And I get close enough to it, and I still can't even figure out what it is. So I get behind the truck at a stoplight, and I actually took the picture at the second stoplight that I got behind it. And I sent a picture to Kathy, and I think I said something to the effect of, obviously, this is the chair the demon summoner sits in.
It is truly a throne for a demonic, maybe the devil himself, Beelzebub himself sits in it.
It was wood, carved wood. It was really tall. Like, it's taller than the cab of the pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So it would sit like a person 7 feet tall.
Like a throne?
Yes. It looked like a throne. And the back of it's all carved. I couldn't see the seat of it, though, because I'm like, it would be so uncomfortable. The arms of the chair were like really carved out, and they were serpents. And they had like a ball in the mouth of the serpent.
In their mouth?
And I don't know, maybe it was supposed to be an apple. Maybe it was
an apple, maybe.
Eating the apple. But I'm like, this has to be where the head of the bad guys sit. Like, the baddest of the bad guys.
You know what I would have liked to have known? Is like, what did that guy look like that was driving the pickup?
Oh, I wanted, like, he turned left in front of me.
I'll bet you were dying to know that.
Yeah, and then it was like he drove through the park. I'm like, where the hell are you going with the demon chair in the back? Well, because I was going to a different place in the park, and I'm like, I can't continue following
him. If it was closer to Halloween, you could say, well, he's going to a haunted house, and they're going to drop it off and use it in the haunted house or something. But this is not even close.
And it wasn't even like a Renaissance fair king and queen chair. It just felt very dark.
Demonic.
Yeah.
There are people that just like to decorate, I guess, with that. You know, my son lives across the street from somebody. And of course, I've never been in his house. And he has bushes that are kind of up high and stuff. But Chris sits kind of on a hill above, so you can kind of look down at his house. So you can kind of see into his yard and stuff. And he has like the weirdest things, like a 10-foot tall slender man in the yard.
Oh, that's so creepy.
And then he's got like a skeleton on a horse. This is like full size stuff.
So that
and the horse is kind of rearing up, you know, and he's got gargoyles all over and things. So he might
That guy would have loved this chair.
Throne in his house.
I'm even looking at it going, and then it was in the back with like a weird old mattress or something. I don't know. But I was like, okay, number one, how do you get that in a regular house? You're going to have to take it through the patio doors or something. I don't know how you even get it in a regular house. I had so many questions, but I was like, fascinated. If you were going to summon demons, that would be the chair you would do it from.
Yeah. It was a crazy, like you sent me the picture. I'm like, what the hell? I'm enlarging it, you know, like, good God.
It was the damnedest thing. And they're just driving through the park.
I texted back to you and I said, coming from a person who actually designs creepy, haunted images, I'm even a little creeped out by this.
Yeah. It was wooden. I mean, it definitely looks like it's wood. So I'm guessing it was hand carved. It has to be one of a kind. Like, you didn't go to Ashley Furniture and get that one.
I don't know.
Excuse me. Do you have any demon summoning chairs? Because need one for my spare room.
Yeah, you just wait. Ashley Furniture's going to come out with their demonic themed rooms now.
And God, yeah,
you've given them an idea.
You've got these throne chairs, and I don't know. It was very strange. I had so many questions. So many questions.
Interesting.
Well, let's go to this first story of the day.
This is Elle from Chicago calling. I called in to tell you guys an experience I had about 2 years back when I went to visit my grandparents in Missouri. I've always liked to go jogging very early in the morning. So I went out for a morning jog, and it was kind of a creepy, foggy morning. And I come across this tree. It's just your typical creepy old gnarled scary movie tree. And as I get within about 10 feet of this tree, I felt like someone had punched me in the gut with grief. Just, I felt completely heartbroken and hopeless. And I just kind of stumbled to the trunk of this tree and sat down and just for about 10 minutes, just bawled my eyes out. It was the worst I've ever felt emotionally. And I don't have any children, so I can't say for sure, but it was almost like how a parent would feel losing a child, just complete, utter hopelessness and heartbreak. And after about 10 minutes, felt like a lot longer, I was able to pull myself together and start walking home. And when I got to my grandparents' house, they were obviously really concerned about me because I have this huge puffy red face from crying. And, I just said, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. I came across that old creepy tree and just started crying. And they both kind of looked at each other and proceeded to tell me that this tree actually has a really dark history. It was the KKK's favorite hanging tree in the area. Dozens of black slaves have been hung from that tree. And I'm a firm believer that kind of evil and just terror kind of just leaves a mark on the physical land around it, and I can only assume that is what I stumbled upon. Yeah, that's my story. Maybe sometime I will call in with my experience I had at Alcatraz. I hope you guys have a great night. Bye.
To me, that's interesting that the tree could still be there. You know, that at some point they wouldn't have cut it down.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, but I did Google it. I'm like, hanging tree in Missouri. And there is one in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I don't know if that's where she was. But
yeah. There's a lot. And as a matter of fact, when I lived in Southeast Kansas, there were some areas actually in Southeast Kansas and then in Missouri, you know, and around there that they were actually doing, like putting commemorative kind of stones and stuff
there. Makes sense.
You know, where these things had happened. And I'm with her. I don't see how that tree and just the area around it wouldn't have consumed this kind of energy.
Well,
that
you just think about all of what happened there.
Right.
And it's just so horrific How does that not leave an imprint?
Yeah.
Because I really do think, you know, it's just something I've been thinking a lot about lately because of some Grave Talks episodes I've done. But when history itself leaves an imprint, can that create a haunting? Can the collective energy of everything that happened there create that emotion? And people like her, who are obviously sensitive, and she's, you know, obviously empathic, I'm going to guess, to have been so overwhelmed like that, because she's just out for a jog.
Right, right. And I mean, it hit her like somebody actually just punched her. You know, she just had to stop. She said she stumbled to the tree itself and had to sit there and just sob. That's, you know, crazy. But I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think the collective history of a place can actually leave that imprint right there.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I 100% believe that. And I think because, for example, sometimes you just, like, say you visit an old... I remember visiting an old prison when I was in Texas, and they'd actually hung people there. And man, I didn't know that. I just was, you know, at the building, and I just felt sick to my stomach. And then later I found out, oh yeah, up until the 1950s, they actually hung people there.
Mm.
You know, and it made me physically feel unwell at this place. So I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly what can happen.
And I think too, the other thing with a historical site like that is that the stories are retold, like especially at the jail you went to, those stories are retold and retold and retold. And so that also kind of, you're continually feeding into that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are told a story, you might walk in and get a creepy ass feeling, but then when you find out what happened, that just ramps up your own emotions, leaving another layer of imprint on it.
Yeah.
So I just think stories like that are so fascinating to me. It just really gets me thinking.
Oh my God.
So let's go to this next story about high school theater. Says, I've been listening to the show for a couple years now. I love all the stories, and I finally decided to send in something that happened when I was in high school. I was heavily involved in theater, which basically meant I spent more time in the auditorium than I did at home. If we weren't rehearsing, we were building sets, painting scenery, moving props, sitting around waiting for our turn to do something. Anybody who has done theater knows that eventually you start hearing stories about whatever building you're in. Our school auditorium definitely had those stories. Some of them had probably been passed down from one group of students to the next for years. People claimed they'd heard footsteps backstage when no one was there. Few people swore they heard someone whistling from the catwalks. There was also a story about a figure that occasionally showed up in the back row of the auditorium during rehearsals. Those are all, every one of those is like the most stereotypical theater haunting story. They all have that.
They do, yes.
I never paid much attention to it because every school seems to have the exact same ghost stories. Then one year during musical season, our director told us something that got everybody's attention. We were taking a break during rehearsal, and somehow the conversation turned into ghost stories. One of the cast members asked her if she believed in ghosts, and instead of laughing it off, she told us about several experiences she'd had over the years. According to her, it started with seeing the same man multiple times in completely different places. She described him as looking like a normal person at first, but every time she took a second look, he was gone. One of the stories involved seeing him in her car after she had already checked to make sure nobody was there. Another involved seeing him in a faculty restroom and realizing a few seconds later that there was nowhere for anyone to have gone. The room got pretty quiet when she was talking because this wasn't somebody who normally told ghost stories. She was one of the most practical people I'd ever met. Eventually, she told us she got tired of seeing whatever it was and basically told it to leave her alone. And according to her, the sighting stopped. That would have been the end of it, except a few weeks later, something happened during rehearsal. Our auditorium had a large backstage storage area where old set pieces, curtains, and props were kept. It's the kind of place that looked creepy even in broad daylight. And one afternoon, our director came back from the storage area looking genuinely rattled. She told us she had seen a curtain pushed outward as though someone was standing behind it. Not a little movement from air conditioning, she described it as looking like someone pressing their face against the fabric. She pulled the curtain back. Nobody was there. After that, people started sharing their own experiences. One girl said she hated being backstage by herself because she always felt like somebody was standing just around the corner. Another student claimed he heard footsteps above him while working on the lighting equipment. A teacher said she occasionally heard doors closing in parts of the building that were empty. Most of us treated it like entertainment. Then I had my own experience. One Saturday, several of us were helping paint scenery. We were spread throughout the auditorium working on different projects. I had gone backstage looking for a prop we needed for a scene. I knew there were other people in the building, but at that particular moment, I thought I was alone in that area. As I was looking through a stack of old set pieces, I heard someone walk behind me. It wasn't subtle. I heard multiple footsteps and even moved out of the way because I assumed somebody was trying to get past me. When nobody said anything, I turned around and no one was there. I actually called out a friend's name because I thought they were messing with me, but nobody answered. The strange part was that I wasn't scared right away. I was confused. I walked back to the stage area and found everyone exactly where they had been before. A few minutes later, I asked one of my friends if anyone had come backstage. She said no. I remember trying to convince myself I had heard something else. Maybe somebody dropped something. Maybe sound carried differently backstage than I realized. I never did come up with a good explanation. Nothing major happened after that. I didn't see a ghost. I didn't get scratched. I didn't hear a voice calling my name. It's just one of those moments where I was absolutely convinced somebody had been standing behind me and there was nobody there. Years later, after graduation, I saw one of the teachers who still worked at the school and the auditorium came up in conversation. I asked, "Do people still talk about it being haunted?" And she said, "Every new group of theater students eventually comes to the same conclusion on their own." She said it doesn't matter whether the students know the stories or not. Every year, somebody ends up reporting something backstage. Maybe that's because old auditoriums are just weird places. They have catwalks, storage rooms, curtains, hidden corners, 1,000 ways for sound to travel. But whenever I think back to those years in high school, I don't think about opening night or memorizing lines. I think about standing backstage and stepping aside to let someone pass and then nobody there. Thanks for reading my story. Keep up the great work, Samantha. I think that's a little bit sad that Samantha doesn't remember opening night or all the work. She remembers, yeah, we were painting, but then that weird thing happened.
Oh, this is classic auditorium stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of the things that Samantha said, you go, yep, I can totally see that. It did seem like the teacher sightings were not just limited to the auditorium, though, because didn't she say that she saw somebody, this figure, in a couple other areas too?
Yeah, like her car. She thought she saw it in her car.
Yeah, so it wasn't, her thing was not just limited to the auditorium. And it seemed to really be kind of attached.
But don't you think too, though, it's like those old theaters are the perfect places for hauntings. And, mm-hmm. You've got a group of creative, open-minded people. Usually that's kind of who theater people are. And, mm-hmm. They're a very tight group of people. And mm-hmm. a lot of these school auditoriums are in older schools.
Yep.
And those, everything that Samantha said in that story is a classic haunting that we've heard in a number of different theater haunting stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, especially like seeing the person in the back of the theater walking mm-hmm. around and nobody's there or in a certain mm-hmm. seat.
Yeah.
You know, the tech guy who's messing with the lights in the catwalk or whatever it is.
But I do think
it's weird to have that experience where you feel like someone's coming up behind you and you know that feeling. You're not seeing them, but you know the feeling so well that you move out of the way because you know they're right behind you.
Yeah.
And you move and then it's like, excuse me.
Because you are so not expecting anything creepy at that moment. You're just thinking it's somebody else.
Yeah.
That's there with you. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me that they could have one or maybe even more spirits that, passed on or whatever and gravitated back to that. Because I think theater is a very group intensive sort of place, right? Mm-hmm. That it takes a lot of your heart and your soul to be there and to do this thing in front of all these people and try to get emotions from the audience. And so you're really invested in this just personally. Whereas, people like me are in art, we throw a pot or whatever and, okay. But these, and not to say we don't, but it's something we do like at our house or here or there, right? An audit, to be in theater requires a place and a place where everybody commits and, does this activity to elicit emotions and share their emotions, right? And their feelings. So I can see how somebody had been, so committed to their theater days there, and it was such a big part of their life that they would go back.
It's just, I just love those theater stories.
I know.
Let's one more story.
I just heard an episode, you were talking about somebody that had a residual haunting of her grandma. That was so creepy, but it made me think of something when my father passed away, and he died when I was in high school, and it was myself and my younger brother, who was 5 at the time. I was 17, and he died suddenly of a heart attack in the house. And my mom and one of my aunts had gone to church, and I was home with my brother, and we were cooking and getting ready for the family that was going to come over, since he literally just passed away a couple of days before. And I was in the kitchen cooking. My brother was in the other room watching TV, and I didn't even notice it, but he came in the kitchen and he said, "Who's upstairs?" And I thought, oh my goodness, I've heard my father getting ready, getting dressed for his day. We lived in a really old house, and right above the kitchen and a portion of the living room where my brother was sitting watching TV was their bedroom. The master bedroom was humongous in this house. And he was up there watching, or getting ready for his daily activity of whatever he was going to do. I actually thought about it and realized I heard him, I think, get up from the bed, sit in his recliner, get up, go in the closet. You could actually hear the sounds of the way the closet was built, of clothes coming off of hooks and hangers and the belt coming off the belt rack and the shower turning on. I mean, obviously not all in that order, but that was what was going on. And I realized when my brother came in the room, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's something. So I grabbed him, I turned off everything that we were cooking, and I went outside and sat in my car waiting for my mom to get home, half expecting our dad to come outside and go about his activities. So I just wanted to share that with you. I'm pretty sure it was residual, but it just, it was so creepy. I love your show so much. Thank you for listening.
First off, I can't even imagine what she's gone through.
I know.
It's just like to go through what she went through. And hearing all that, I think the part that really bothers me the most is how much it scared her that she had to leave the house with her brother. She couldn't even be in the house. And the last thing her dad would want is to scare her.
Which is what makes me think it wasn't something her dad was, conscious of. I think that he might have felt, I don't know, of course, but that this was just, I don't know whether she was tapping into like him, but they were both getting it. Both the brother and the sister. It wasn't just her. I was thinking about it as she was talking and I thought, it was so new that you were without him.
Mm-hmm.
That you go home and you hear him. And you just going, yeah, I'm cooking away, getting ready, and dad's upstairs doing whatever, until the brother comes in, breaks that, and you realize, wait a minute, dad is gone.
Yeah.
And she's literally hearing. I don't think the dad meant to scare her. I just wonder if she's right. It was just a residual thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm with you. I don't think it would have ever been his intention to scare the
kids. And she obviously never heard that again.
Yeah, she would have definitely said it happened four more times or whatever, you know.
You know, because we were just talking about energy leaving an imprint on something. And maybe it could be that sort of a thing. You know, that is kind of what a residual haunting is. It's just energy imprinting itself.
I agree.
And it kind of replays. But, you know, maybe it was just that one time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe dad was not quite gone from the house even. I don't know. But I know he wouldn't have wanted to scare her.
But I do think there's this window before somebody's actually gone that their spirit is still here for a little bit, you know, kind of transitioning. Because right after somebody dies, I've had all sorts of things happen and kind of oddly like these, where it's, you know, peripherally see people walk past and, you know, hear voices doing things, or, you know, you can just sense these other activities and noises going on. And then after 3-4 days, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never heard a story quite like that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was really interesting, but man, I hate that she's gone through that.
Oh,
that's a lot. So share your stories with us because we do like to hear them. You can leave us a voicemail. It's 855-853-4802. That's our number. Our website's realghoststoriesonline.com. That's where you can write a story and submit it. And if you would like to become a premium subscriber, get no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive, just sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.